And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And how did you spend your bye weekend, Andy?
Well, watching a bit of football and playing football myself and basically enjoying a break off and trying not to get annoyed about the first free kick against against us in the first game. And then I was watching a bit of NBA finals and I listened to a podcast where someone made all game two all about the way it was refereed, which didn't help my mood at all. Got annoyed by what Buddy's lawyer said about Conchon, which was pretty ridiculous. So yeah, but the sense of dissatisfaction has declined a little bit.
I know. Yeah, I spent a lot of time watching kids' sports, watched a movie or two. Honestly, I feel like a more balanced and well-rounded person when there's not a Richmond game on. And yeah, I could barely stand it. I'm so looking forward to having football back.
Oh, me too. Thursday. Looking forward to already. Gonna meet a few people beforehand, probably, and go to the game. So absolutely can't wait. If not, it's going to be horribly cold. It's going to be so cold and miserable on Thursday night. I've been doing some research into lowest crowds ever for Richmond Port games, which I'll come to in a sec. I don't think we'll break the record, by the way. But yeah, it's looking pretty good, Thursday. Grim for the game.
Yeah, Thursday night. You know, and it's not a holiday the next day. Yeah, it's pretty difficult for fans interstate to come. Weather's terrible. Yeah, it's not going to be a big crowd.
No, it's not. But what else has been happening in the football world, Nick?
Well, although, on the crowd point, it would be a shame if there's not at least a decent crowd there to pay tribute to Dylan Grimes. And, you know, I feel like sometimes there's not a lot that you can say about, you know, these champions when they get to milestone games. But, yeah, the Dylan Grimes story, you know, it is like, it's a lot like Dave Asprey's story, but even more successful. The 2009, he doesn't get picked in a whole national draft. We like him as a kid, draft him in the preseason draft. And, you know, young 18-year-olds coming out of the preseason draft are almost never any good. And, you know, they hardly ever get picked there. So he starts the year in the VFL reserves and manages one senior game for an absolutely, you know, bottom of the rebuild team in 2010. After 4 years, he's played 26 games. Like, and I think what struck me doing some research is, you know, you get we podcasted all through it, but you know, 2013 and particularly 2014, we had the core of the premiership winning defence. Bloston, Rance, Asprey, Grimes, Hawley, and God knows we didn't realise it at the time, but yeah,
I was just going to say, in fairness, you could, part of Grimes' problem, once he played a few games, the talent was obvious, the problem.
Yeah, the defensive talent.
But the issue he had was his hamstring kept going. Do you remember that we sent him to Germany for the calf blood injections into the hamstring? So yeah, it's been a long journey, which has finished with three premierships, a captaincy, and 200 games, and it's not over yet.
All Australian as well. I think we didn't see the transformation into sort of the intercepting force that he became when
we're excited Rance, about him
and Rance walked away.
Yeah, we're excited about him as a defensive stopper for a long time. The evolution of after Rance was, I guess, the second act of the career that we didn't anticipate, and there's no now the sort of the opinion of him amongst Tiger Lang is so high. There's almost like nothing we couldn't expect him to do as long as his body holds up.
Yeah, and look, he's, you know, he's captained the club, and he's also got, you know, he's got his winery and a fair bit going on in his life. So yeah, you just don't know how long he wants to keep playing for. But God, you know, as you said, he can do no wrong in the eyes of Richmond supporters.
No, indeed. Anyway, let's celebrate him for what it is, and I agree. Let's hope we get a decent crowd.
Mm. Do you know what? So the VFL is on the even less appealing Wednesday night time slot, and notable for, well, a couple of things. We've got the debut of Jacob Bauer, who we drafted last week, but also the debut from Big Mate Kalina, who I feel like we've talked about a lot, an awful lot, proportionate to the amount of actual football he's played. But so we,
yeah, I thought it was slightly redundant that you needed to use his full name, because that's what we really only do for opposition players. Like, for every Richmond player, we basically use the one name shorthand for them. So yeah, I think Mate's been talked about enough on this pod that you can just refer to him as Mate, and we all know who you're talking about.
It is extraordinary though that we signed him as a Category B rookie nearly 2 years ago, and this is even his first game in the VFL. Like, even Ivan Soldo, we signed him and he played half a year in the under 18 competition as a top up 19-year-old before starting to play some VFL games, and there was actually some, you know, he was still clearly as raw as sushi, but he was competent. In the under 18s, and then didn't embarrass himself in the VFL. We've got none of that. We have absolutely no idea about Mate Kalina as a footballer, other than, you know, Neil Brahm occasionally saying how well he moves. Like, it's quite it's interesting.
It is interesting. I know offline you said that the over under on his possessions will be quite low. I won't quote the exact figure. Won't put you on the stop.
He's been named in a forward pocket, which honestly is a little bit of a Richard Lowndes flashback for all the listeners.
Yeah. Look, we'll see. Look, as a second ruck, you know, sometimes you just get the ball by naturally the sort of the ball drifting into space. So, look, he might do a bit, but, and you know, rucking is, depending on who he's rucking against, he played juniors. He may not be completely lost, but it'll certainly be interesting. And I think
it'll be interesting, yeah.
The big thing we can take from it is that phrase you used of how he moves. And that's what, that's one thing. He'll be uncertain, he'll run to the wrong spots. He'll probably do something comedic, but we'll also be able to tell a bit and how high he jumps as well.
He doesn't jump very much. I've seen him play basketball. He's not a big leaping guy, but when you're the biggest, potentially the biggest player in the history of the AFL, you probably don't need to jump all that much.
Yes, no. Anyway, we will be a lot more enlightened after this week than we were after this Wednesday than we are right now.
Yep.
And Bauer too. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think there's less of an unknown there. Like, I'm expecting. Yeah, I expect he'll have some moments. So, yeah, Kalina, I have absolutely no idea. Should be interesting. Andy, I wanted to this is not a sentence I use a great deal, but they had an interesting article in Herald Sun on the number of Richmond's got a lot of players out of contract at the end of the year. Which, you know, it's not completely abnormal. It sort of reflects the nature of our playing list with a lot of older players, but also a lot of younger players, and sort of only a few in that sweet spot in the middle where you give them long term contracts. So yeah, we're halfway through the season, and we've sort of got a bit of a perspective from a week off. I thought we could run through the guys out of contract and sort of get a sense of who's playing for a contract, for the rest of the year, and who's the priority re-signings.
Sure, I didn't actually find the article that interesting. Like, I think it's one of those ones that's more interesting if you support a different club, because I think most fan supporters know who's out of contract and who's likely to leave.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that. I didn't know that we had the most out of contract of any club.
Yeah, fair. And again, I was just listening to a podcast this morning about NFL cap data, and there's so much nuance to it. And one of the things they were complaining about is an NFL GM who talked about he'd said some incorrect things about basically nerds on the internet critiquing what they did and what do they know. Well, NFL, and they were systematically taking apart that argument, but whatever, that's an NFL argument. The point I'm coming to, though, is my regular rant about not making salary cap data any at which, my suspicion is it's protecting bad GMs and bad CEOs of football and bad player managers. It's not about protecting the player at all, but the lack of transparency does help them. But if anyone, next time any club manager is saying, oh, those people, the media don't know anything, and they're complaining about that, well, make the data public, and then the Herald Sun or anyone else has no excuse. But otherwise, it's deliberate. It's deliberate misinformation in a cloud of fog. Anyway, rant over, but gee, this conversation would be a lot more interesting if the cap details were public.
Mm. Yeah, true.
And, most of our good players have played at the same level as senior government ministers. They're not low paid. They're at the level of pay that most people have their pay public. Anyway, rant over.
Mm. Starting from the top. And probably not one of your favourite Richmond players, Jake Arntz.
I think we have to. It depends. We have to finish 10th or higher for Jake to go round. I think if the season doesn't go well from here, that could be ludicrous to keep him. Surely.
Yeah. Look, I think he's, we've talked about it before, he's got to be playing right at the peak of his capacity. So, yeah, if he's not a regular senior player, yeah, I think it'd be tough for him to stay on the list. This is the easiest one, I think. Liam Baker. How many years would you re-sign him for?
Well, it's just what his agent wants. Does he take him up to the full free agency or the faux free agency?
Mm. He's a couple of years. A 2-year contract would take him up to free agency. So, yeah, ideally, I don't know, if we re-signed him for 4 or 5, thanks.
I'd actually think about that. If I was him, I would take the longer contract. I think he needs surety. He's a small body playing in a big man's game, and I think there's a happy compromise there of a bit of security.
Mm. Oh, I'd give me as much linebacker as we can get. Nathan Broad.
Well, he's the one that was most rumored to go, wasn't he? I mean, it's purely a matter of
There was some interest, I think, from at least one of the Western Australian clubs.
It just seems like a matter of cash, and I think his girlfriend's based here. His wife, actually, now, I believe. And I'm sure other teams would want him, but are other teams going to pay him enough to justify him switching clubs? Like he's...
Yeah, he's not a free agent, so you've got to trade for him. And
And
it's hard to see the Eagles going for someone who's 30 as the first step in their rebuild.
Yeah, and he's not a one, right? He's at best a two, and probably not even that. It's not that he's not a very good player, but you have to see it from the other perspective of the teams. Is this my special acquisition of the offseason where I use a lot of my cap space? And you have to trade. Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Could be wrong, of course.
Yeah. No, just it feels like a 2 or 3 year deal. Obvious for all signs. Mate Kalina, we've discussed. I don't know. Raleigh College Hawkins.
What do you think?
I think if he's not another guy, if he's not a regular player, and you'd think, you know, he's still young, got some draft pedigree, might be some interest somewhere else. Yeah, and I think it's the type of thing where, you know, maybe the club does the right thing for him for a late pick, but
yeah.
Look, something's got to change.
Yeah, his current form, and other clubs are going to look at, we don't have the strongest midfield, and other clubs are going to look at us and say, we've got a pretty good track record of development. They might take him on a flight, like on it for nothing, but it's, something's got to change if he's, you know, if he's not, I agree that if he sort of gets injury now and plays in the end, probably another team will at least rookie list him, but yeah, something has to get better for him to stay on the current Richmond AFL list. That said, his form is lowest now that has been for a while, so you know, there is a good chance it'll improve. Trent Cotchin, well, it's up to him, isn't it? I mean, he's playing.
Yeah, totally. And look, what are we? Cotchin, Edwards, and Jack. I think it's surely for all of them. I mean, particularly Jack, who's been sensational.
To me, there's
form. It's,
well, yeah. Jack's genuinely valuable, playing good footy. Cotchin's playing the hardest position. Midfield, because you're always playing against the other team's guns, and he's holding his own. Edwards is the one. Unless something changes, he's surely going to wrap it up at the end of the year.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be done in a, you know, nobody's going to be forced to go. But yeah, just a question of where they are and do they still have the. Have the passion for it.
Sure, let's go with that. Is that the list?
Oh, no, we're about a third of the way through.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I think yeah, Shed's, you know, champion of the club, leader of the club, you know, there's no treating him with any disrespect.
No, but he's getting his dignified farewell, and it's this season. And it's dignified, and we didn't drop him, and he's had some good form the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he's played better since. Yeah,
he's played better, but yeah. Anyway, we don't need to do. I think it's just go on. If people are interested, go on FootyWire and look at his career output, and look what this season is, and you think. Anyway, it's self-evident what's happening. It's his last season, and good. We absolutely adore him and love him, but there's no way he's playing next year, I don't think, unless something radical changes.
Yeah, I'm not that definite. Noah Cumberland.
Yeah, that's a really tough one, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit early to call because he's probably now, by the rule of emergency, is going to get a senior game. So it's a bit hard.
He has had one technically.
But an actual senior game where we might get a gauge of can he play senior football. So it's really tough to deal with. I mean, by the law of averages, probably yes. But you wouldn't want to call it just yet.
Yeah, it's hard. I think, I don't know. He's played some decent footy in the VFL, but you know, he's equally been on the list for a couple of years. So, you know, you'd hope, he can have an impact. So, yeah, I don't know. Kane Langbeck. Ugh. It seems a lot to ask him to keep playing through this hip injury.
Yeah, just the way they talk about it. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it sounds chronic, and yeah, it seems like, I mean, we all want him to play on, but it seems I wouldn't bet on it.
No, and we've seen, you know, Kel Moore, who's the homecoming hero, this week, you know, spent a long time coming back from knee injuries. Oh, sorry, hip injuries, and then only played a couple of games, made it back for a couple of games before calling it quits. Like, yeah, it's a lot. Will Martin?
No, very hard to believe he would stay.
Yep. Which he's played some decent VFL footy, but yeah, doesn't. He seems off the standard. Ben Miller and Biggie Newen.
Well, you'd figure one of them would stay.
Yeah, have to keep at least one.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've both been delisted, right? So it doesn't.
Yeah, they're both free agents. So if they play well, and you know, we've talked about Miller's been in really good form. He could easily be picked up by another club. So
yeah, we might have the same situation we had with Joel and CCJ, where we probably wanted to wanted to keep one of them, and we got none of them. Anyway, we shall see. But good on Ben Miller. I'm really enjoying his run of form. But you'd figure we'd lose at least one of them.
Yep. Matty Parker?
Well, he hasn't been picked in the VFL this week, which means Dim is picking for yet another senior game, unless he's injured.
Yeah, possibly. There's unfortunately a not small chance of...
I think he's in the arts category. Also, we are getting up to a lot of delistings. He's in potentially in the arts category of, if you're not a contending team anymore, why are you keeping him around?
Yep.
So
Marlon Pickett?
Yes, I want to keep him.
Yeah, apparently there's talks on an extension, so hopefully that's so he's pretty straightforward.
He is a just top 100 rated player at the moment.
Yeah. And on the sheer fun, how much fun he used to watch as a footballer, even higher than that. Speaking of footballers who I enjoy watching, Dan Rioli.
Yeah, I think with some judicious use of some of those, that the cap room saved by some of the other people we were talking about, particularly the veterans, that potentially Dan is the one that we have enough space to keep him.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, there's a bit of flexibility with Caddy coming off the books as well. But yeah, that seems like a re-signing that needs to happen. Speaking of which, extremely straightforward one, Maurice Rioli Jr.
He'll get it done.
Yep. Jack Ross.
I would say yes, because our midfield depth is not great, but not for a lot of money.
Yep. Yeah, seems line ball, I think. In Sydney Stack.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
It's not. Something's not going great.
No. That he played a good game a couple of weeks ago and didn't make the team. Wasn't a good sign, I don't think. But yeah. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Now, is that everyone?
Yep, that's it.
So, I mean, what's the lesson from that in aggregate? It's a very long list. And the amount of people that you'd say are more likely than not to be delisted is almost too long.
Yeah, probably about 8.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, but not ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could just clean house like that, but it could, you know, you'd think maybe 5 to 6 would probably be a more realistic number, correct?
Yeah, I think so. We've got a normal number of draft picks. We don't, we've got North Melbourne's second round pick, and we gave up our third round pick. So, you know, we don't need to clear a ton of space for that. But yeah.
So I guess the key list is there's probably going to be less pressure spot. There's probably going to be one or two less delistings than we expect.
Yeah, I think going into a period of transition, you know, with some older guys finishing their career, yeah, I think maybe you have a bit more scope to keep someone like Jack Ross around. But yeah, I equally, we've done this as a mid-season exercise a few times, and we've just completely missed some guys who've come out of nowhere and had a great second half of the year. So, you know, who knows what happens. But, yeah, it is a difficult part of the game.
Well, I think the two that, I think RCD and Cumble, and one of them you could see playing senior games and being good enough to make themselves definite yeses for next year. Yeah, the veterans are sort of, it's probably less performance based.
Yeah, and let's get the Liam Baker contract done, Dan Riola contract done, Nathan Broad contract done. Yeah. We've been good. Regular senior players have wanted to stay at Richmond.
Yeah, look, I'll throw it. It's a long list. It's not a particularly good list. If you, not that there aren't some stars on it, but there's not a, that sort of, when you net boil it down to good players still in their prime who are out of contract, it's a pretty short list.
Yeah. So we should get those guys done.
Absolutely. Now, Port Adelaide.
So, Port Adelaide. They had a pretty bad start to the season, to say the least. I mean, they had a close loss to the Lions, but you know, generally speaking, you know, disappointing start to the year. They've bounced back recently, you know, good win against the Saints up in Cairns, beat the Bulldogs at the Adelaide Oval, beat the Bombers, you know.
Yeah.
It's middling form.
But there's, yeah, I mean, the sort of, they got back into form, beating the Eagles, you know, they have both the Eagles and the Kangaroos on their win list, and Essendon away from in full meltdown mode. Admittedly, so do we. But yeah, the wins have a fair proportion of junk on it.
Yeah, yeah, even more so than us.
and some of their losses have been pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, so, and it's reflected in the betting line, which is currently about 13 points. I don't know. How are you? Are you feeling that confident?
Apologies, I am rather. I'm just sort of, you know me, I like to sort of break down that their individual components of the sort of who do they have who are elite players. And like, I mean, Ollie Wines is genuinely a sort of, he lives up to his reputation as an inside mid, and Bullock's still very good.
Yeah, although, but Ollie Wines is well down. Well, maybe not well down. He's 5 disposals a game down on last year. You know, obviously when he was a gun, and his disposal efficiency's off as well. So I think that's part of it. I mean, Boak's been a very good player for a long time, but he's nearly 34 years old. Robbie Gray is 34 years old and has clearly dropped off, although he can still kick a goal. They are absolutely enormous in their forward line with Charlie Dixon, Todd Marshall, and Jeremy Finlayson as three tall forwards. So, yeah, if seems Bolter's likely to play, but do we need him to play back?
Well, yes, quite. And look, it'll probably be a wet day, and Lynch won't be there, so we'll have the same issue we had against Sydney about the forward line functioning. But to the SCG, it's in the MCG where our forwards, our small forwards, function much better. But you know, to your point, Boak's 34 and leading them on the key, all the key clearance metrics. Like he's their 1A, and overall the output is just not that good. Through the stoppages, through the centre clearances. They kick mark a lot, and that's not great on a wet MCG night. I don't see them having the game plan that could travel us. And Nick, did you realise that Willem Drew is actually not bad?
I actually had the same experience about Dan Houston being in the top 20 in the AFL in kicks, marks, and intercepts. I just didn't rate him that highly, and he's actually a pretty good player.
Yeah, they've had a sort of couple of players as part of their mid-season. Their sort of recent resurgence, they're not much fun to watch, are they? Really, I don't know how many times you turn on the Port Adelaide Power, but they haven't been very interesting or relevant. So I haven't been following them, and you know they've. These sort of relatively competent players have popped up. So, look, they've got a chance. It's wet, it's windy, but you'd think that now that we've got a fairly functional, you know, we've got both Dusty and Shea playing, and sort of a relatively functional centre square matchup. But you know, Dimmer's doing his best to make sure that we lose if someone goes down in the centre square again by picking another sub who can only play one position, and that's the wing or the half forward line. That's ridiculously cynical. But yeah, like I just can't see how they go, what facet of the game they're going to beat us on in a wet night at the G that's going to cause us to lose. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Look, they do have some very good players. You know, we played a lot of close games against them before, and they are, you know, they're not a great clearance team, but they are very good at controlling the football at times, and you know, maybe the space at the MCG suits them a bit for that. They're quite a good intercept marking team. I mean, not particularly, any one player that dominates, but it is a decent defence. Sam Hayes in the ruck is an enormous large lump of a young ruckman, and he doesn't get the ball very much at all, but he is top 10 in the AFL in hitouts per game. So that'll be an interesting matchup.
Will be, and I think it'll be a reason to keep, especially while we've got no Lynch. There'll be a reason to keep the two ruck set up. So, yeah, we'll be, you know, I'll be watching that match up closely. And now, Nick, I before mentioned that I've been doing some research into lowest crowds ever between Port Adelaide and Richmond. And
yeah.
Port Adelaide does, unfortunately, all the records have been blown out by the COVID season, so strike them all away. Port Adelaide does feature a reasonable amount on our lowest ever home crowds list, but partly that was because that game we played in Darwin. And we did have a 16,000 crowd versus Port at Docklands in round 15, 2003. So can you imagine that? Yeah. Round 15, 2003, just before we finished last and sacked, and Frawley, I think Frawley was already resigned by then, but that was pretty grim time. So we still got 16,000, but in the last decade or so, we've only played them twice at the G. Since 2016, we've only played them twice in the G. In round 18, 2019, we got 41,000, which was impressive. Mm. But the low bar for the MCG home games, I think, is 27,000 we got in 2016, in the dismal 2016 season. So so basically, that the point of all that is 27,000 is roughly the bar that we need to clear to not be sort of setting a local record.
Yeah. I think we're headed towards the 2016 crowd rather than the 2018. I actually remember 2018 is that game was a really nice day.
2019.
2019. Yeah. Yeah. Look, it won't be pretty. Yeah, and as you say, I think we've got the firepower to get the job done. But yeah. I'm going to be certainly nervous by game time.
Yeah. Now, just before we move on, we in the pod, I just wanted to mention Dimmer did a podcast and I'm just looking up the name while I talk to it. The Great Coaches Leadership in Life is the name of the podcast, which you can just get on all the usual spots. So it's interesting because he just interviews great coaches and he interviews our coach, and the interviewer has clearly read Conrad Marshall's book, but weirdly doesn't refer to it. I don't know why he did that, but he actually refers to the book and then doesn't say what book he's talking about. And Dimmer goes through the usual things, and it's quite interesting to hear about his process of growth and his learning and learning to be less uptight and less controlling of certain things and learning to let go. And it is genuinely very interesting. He doesn't mention Emma Murray, but you know, that's all right. She gets mentioned plenty in Conrad Marshall's books. He doesn't actually, in fairness, mention many other people. He gets asked about the changing game plan, and he gives the most unconvincing explanation about playing Connect Four with his daughter, which yeah. I have some sympathy for, is that it's a little bit of intellectual IP, but there might be some other reasons why he's not been so forward on that. But it's well worth a listen. And, you know, we know all his foibles. His Twitter work is very boomerish, but I must admit, I still like our coach as a person. And, you know, it is an interview for some, of course, someone who's been in the media as much as him has to have a persona for the media, but it's not an unlikable persona. So it's a podcast worth listening.
Is it a persona? Is it, it feels like, cranky old man who doesn't care what people think of him
on Twitter, maybe something, but on this podcast, he's very much good Dimmer. So he's been very polite and positive and self-deprecating. Sometimes you see more of his real, the hints of his real personality, perhaps in his Twitter work and other places. And when he's in a bad mood in a press conference, I mean, frankly, as previously discussed, I think we discussed on this podcast, I loved his response when he got asked about the crowd violence, and he went on a a long conversation about excessive negativity about the use of statistics on the crowd violence. And I thought that was a really good Grumpy Dimmer response. Now, no one's perfect at that. We can all be too negative sometimes. I'm annoyed myself sometimes about being too negative on this podcast. But it's not, I think overall, I enjoy his Grumpy Dimmer so too, but you know, he's normally, I reckon 90% of the times he's very polite and nice in post-match conferences, even when he loses.
I think he's enjoying coaching. Like, I mean, he's another one of sort of, he's earned the right to do the job for as long as he wants it. But yeah, he certainly doesn't seem burnt out, which is good. I think having a stable club administration behind him and not having pointless feuds with the club president makes that easier. But yeah.
So we're having a debate offline whether we want to get a mutual friend of ours who's in full meltdown mode over North Melbourne to get him on. Sorry, we need to wrap this podcast up, but the angry fan brain about when you've been crap for years and you keep being crap and you've lost faith in your club's administration and sort of things look so dark in those moments. You know, we've been there. We know how Essendon and North supporters feel right now, where it's not just you having a bad year, you don't trust the people making the decisions anymore. Mm. And it's sort of, I'm some ways...
the angry nufty face.
Yeah, and it is some ridiculous, some of it. Like Sheedy coming out today and recently and saying that the Essendon, the AFL should apologise to Essendon for the way they handle the drug saga. Like, it is so pathetically obvious a diversion.
Yeah, I know. Oh, good. That's what the club needs to move on, is to revisit their recent sordid past.
Yes. Anyway, it's a long digression to say, also, we both get amusing schadenfreude from it. There is another side of it where I can relate to their pain and I remember what that was like.
There, but for the grace of God. Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, long diversion, but thank you for tolerating that, Nick.
Oh, look, I just hope we get Happy Dimmer in his press conference on Thursday night.
And happy hours. Yeah. I would love not to discuss the umpires in the post-match pod.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger 2. If we're not locked into that, might as well
pack up and go home. You're talking about three flags by 2020. Fitzroy has played more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carl Orville Hunt. Look at Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
West on to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Can he just slow? He's gone. No free kick, surely.
In the final home and away game of the season, obliterating the Tigers by 113 points.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Tigers.